Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. That's 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and our theme today is high visibility, low visibility. In our first half hour, we'll talk to one of the most highly visible actresses of the 1970s. In our second half hour, we'll talk to an expert that reveals some of the most secret, low-visibility places on Earth. Anyone who grew up in the 70s, as I did, remembers the sitcom The Partridge Family, starring Shirley Jones as the hip, edgy mom we all wish we had. The show helped to normalize rock and roll and make it more acceptable to our parents by showing a nuclear family whose job just happened to be rock and roll. Shirley Jones is much more than Shirley Partridge, the matriarch of that family, however. She holds many distinctions in both Broadway and the musical worlds as well. Shirley Jones is an American singer, actress of stage, film, and television, what I like to call a triple threat. She starred as wholesome characters in a number of well-known musical films such as Oklahoma, Carousel, and The Music Man, but she won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress, however, for playing a prostitute in Elmer Gantry way back in 1960. She's probably best known as Shirley Partridge, the widowed mother of five children on the sitcom The Partridge Family that ran from 1970 to 1974. That show also starred her real-life stepson, David Cassidy, the son of Jack Cassidy. Welcome to the show, Shirley. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm well.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much for being here.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, so many of us remember you as the Partridge Family, and that's great. I do want to talk about that. But for me, you're always going to be a Broadway baby. So it's just true.
That's a nice term. I love that.
So how did you become interested in musical comedies?
Well, I was given a gift. I was able to sing when I was 6 years old. It was something that was given to me. And I was, you know, singing at all the local functions in my little small town of Smithton, Pennsylvania. And all through high school and all through grammar school. But even though I could sing and I loved it, my dream in life was to become a veterinarian, believe it or not.
I had read that.
Yeah, and because I'm an only child and animals were my sisters and brothers and so forth. But as I said, during my high school years, I went to the Pittsburgh Playhouse and studied drama and studied dance and took actual singing lessons. And I was a coloratura soprano. My singing teacher wanted me to go into opera, but that didn't interest me much. So anyway, the whole story is that was a gift that I was given. And on my way to college to become a veterinarian, I stopped off in New York City and went to an audition for Rodgers and Hammerstein, and I never got to college.
Well, the rest, as they say, is history.
Exactly.
It's funny that you should say that your teachers wanted to move you into classical music. We also had Judy Collins on the show a little bit earlier.
Really?
And she followed the same path. She was
really
classically trained,
yeah,
and they wanted her to go into music. And the funny story that she tells is, many years later, after she's a huge successful star, millions of dollars and all that good stuff, she invites her professor back to talk to her, and the professor shakes his head and goes, "You could have really been something."
Yes, I know. I think my teacher would have said the same thing. He entered me in a beauty contest, and I became Miss Pittsburgh.
Wow.
But I sang a song called Il Bacio, you know, which was an operatic song at that time, and he was thrilled about that.
Well, who wouldn't be? I mean, you have a wonderful voice. Now, let's talk about that relationship with Rodgers and Hammerstein. Obviously, they are some of the foremost names in musical theater. Tell us about that relationship that you had with Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Well, it was an amazing one. First of all, I was the one and only first and last person ever put under personal contract to Rodgers and Hammerstein. I was never under contract to a studio. You know, the studio contract system was just about going out when I came into movies. But they put me under personal contract. But the story is phenomenal. As I said, I was in New York with my parents. This was July. I was going to college in the fall. And I knew a pianist in New York that I'd worked with at the Pittsburgh Playhouse. And I called him, and he said, come on up, we'll sing a few tunes, which I did. And he said, listen, Shirley, Rodgers and Hammerstein's casting director is having open auditions today for anybody that wants to come in and sing for him. Because they had three shows running on Broadway at that time, and their shows ran so long, and they were so successful, that they had to keep replacing chorus people all the time. So they would have open auditions for anybody who wanted to sing. And I had never been to a professional audition. You know, I was a little girl of 17 here, and I wasn't sure what I would do, how I would react. And he said, oh, come on, give it a try. Well, he talked me into it, and I went and stood in line with everybody else waiting around the block to sing for the casting director. I went in, and I sang, and he said the usual questions, what have you done? And I said, nothing, actually. He said, listen, could you wait just a few moments? Mr. Rodgers just happens to be across the street rehearsing his orchestra for Oklahoma, which was about to reopen at City Center and go out on another tour. And he said, I would like him to hear you personally.
Wow.
Well, this was amazing. I mean, now you do understand, I wasn't even sure who Mr. Rodgers was.
Oh, I did not know that. I thought you knew Rodgers of Rodgers and Hammerstein.
No, I mean, I wasn't, you know, I was young and very inexperienced.
Sure.
And I, you know, I had heard of Rodgers and Hammerstein, of course, but I mean, I still wasn't sure if this was the man I thought was Richard Rodgers. And so I waited, you know, and about 15 minutes later, they canceled the rest of the auditions for the day.
Wow.
And Rodgers, the door opens to the theater. I was at the St. James Theater, and he was across the street. And he came walking down the aisle, and he said, Miss Jones? And I said, yes. I said, well, what did you say your name was again? He said, Richard Rodgers. Of course, he never did forget that moment.
Wow, that's amazing. What a great story. We're talking to Shirley Jones, everybody, talking about how she first got into the musical theater with Rodgers and Hammerstein. What was Richard Rodgers like? And at that point, was Oscar Hammerstein still alive?
Oh, yes.
I'm just trying to get a sense.
Next part of the story.
Oh, okay.
He called. I sang for him, and he said, could you wait 20 minutes? I'm going to call Oscar Hammerstein at home. Have him come and hear you.
Ah, that is great. What a success story. Of course, then you went on to start in the chorus over at Oklahoma, which they were just reviving at that time.
No, I went into the chorus of South Pacific.
South Pacific, my mistake. Okay, great. And what did you like about doing the Oscar and Hammerstein musicals?
Well, I adored the music. You know, fortunately, I did know, some of the music because living in Pittsburgh, you know, my parents used to take me to the theater, mm-hmm. and all of the road companies of their shows would come to Pittsburgh. So I did know, I had seen South Pacific, I had seen Oklahoma, and I knew, you know, I knew the music pretty well.
Sure.
As I said to Oscar Hammerstein, when he said, you know the score of Oklahoma, I said, well, I think I know some of the music, but I don't know the words. Of course, I was talking to the lyricist, you understand.
Right. Wrong answer to give
Wrong
to the
answer,
lyricist.
Exactly.
That's too funny. We're talking to Shirley Jones, everybody. Well, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein are considered part of the Great American Songbook, and that is true. They have wonderful, beautiful music. But what a lot of people don't remember is that some of their musicals were actually very edgy.
Yeah.
Carousel has an edge to it,
Absolutely.
And you mentioned South Pacific also has a very
Absolutely.
Edgy thing. What did you think about doing some of those more edgy roles, particularly at the tender age of 17?
Well, I adored, you know, by the time I got to Carousel, it was, you know, a year or so, 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
I was thrilled. Carousel is my favorite musical. I think the music is extraordinary, and I adored that music. I adored that story too, and I loved the role. You know, I loved the story. That's what I loved about their shows. You know, they went into all kinds of different tales. You know, as you said, South Pacific, Oklahoma, of course, was their baby.
Right.
I mean, it was the first time that a book and music were put together. You know, it's the first musical, really.
Mm.
Up to that point, there were operettas and, you know, things like Showboat and that kind of thing. But this is the first sort of book and music. It had been a book called Green Grow the Lilac, and that they got the book and they put music to the book.
We're talking to Shirley Jones, everybody. We're talking about Rodgers and Hammerstein's musicals. While we're on that subject, Shirley, you mentioned Carousels being your favorite. A lot of music critics would agree with you that that's some of their finest work that Rodgers and Hammerstein put together. Yet it's one of the lesser-known musicals that they have out there, and of course one of the lesser-known musical films as well. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, you know, it was a big hit on the stage, you know,
sure.
in New York. I mean, it was a big Broadway hit. I think one of the reasons, I think the film, by the way, I don't think was as good a film. It was not as well directed. It was not as well produced as, say, Oklahoma was. Oklahoma was a beautifully done film. We had a director, great director, Mr. Fred Zinnemann, you know. And to have him as my very first director in Hollywood, it was truly incredible because I learned a great deal from him.
Oh, I bet. We're talking to Shirley Jones, everybody. Shirley, we're going to have to take a break here in just a minute to do some commercials. But before we go to commercial break, you mentioned Carousel again and again and again. Favorite song from Carousel. What is it for you?
If I Loved You.
If I Loved You. Yeah, the classic perennial song. Care to break into a few bars for us?
If I loved you, time and again I would try to say.
Oh, what a lovely voice. We're talking to Shirley Jones, everybody.
Early
Shirley,
in the morning here, you know.
I know. Believe me, I do know. We're going to have to break right now, Shirley, for a couple of commercials. But when we come back, I want to pick it up with musical comedies and then jump into some of your better-known films and finally The Partridge Family. So stay tuned after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. My special guest today is Shirley Jones, and we've been talking about Broadway musicals. Before we went away to commercial, we were talking about Carousel. Obviously, Shirley, we come back, and the musical that everybody most remembers you for probably has to be Oklahoma. What are some of your fondest memories working on Oklahoma and your co-star Hal McRae in the film?
Well, Gordon McRae.
Gordon McRae. I said Hal McRae. That's the baseball player. Sorry.
I guess you're a sports fan.
I am.
No, Gordon, I was a big fan of Gordon McRae. I mean, he had a Saturday morning radio show called the Teen Timers Club. And when I was 16, I would listen to that show every single Saturday morning and fell in love with Gordon McRae's voice. So for me to have the opportunity to play opposite him in Oklahoma was really a joy.
Well, now, I heard it was just a little bit more than falling in love with his voice. Did you have a crush on him?
No, not that.
I had read that.
Believe it or not. But I had a crush on Gene Nelson.
Ah, okay. The truth is out.
The other guy in the film.
Breaking news here on Brainstorming with
exactly
Billy.
Exactly right.
All right. Well, what was memorable about that particular film? Because it's etched in my memory.
First of all, it was really beautifully done, beautifully directed, and we were on location for the whole film in Nogales, Arizona.
Wow.
We shot it in Nogales because, it was there weren't any telephone wires, and it looked like the early 1900s, which is when Oklahoma became a state, and they had built the house, the home, the country home. They planted the cornfield. They had the dugout there, the other things, and it was really an extraordinary place. We were there for 9 months.
Wow!
And that for me was very unusual. I didn't realize it took 9 months to make a motion picture.
That is a long time.
9 months. And it was before the unions came in and said, you can't work actors, 15-hour days. We shot 7 days a week, 13, 14-hour days.
Oh, that's grueling.
Yeah, it was.
But it shows in the final product. It shows because it's a beautiful movie.
It's a beautiful film. It really is. And we had such a great cast. Rod Steiger is Judd. And,
yes.
And, Charlotte Greenwood, who became my sort of grandma on the set, and told me how to behave and what to do and what not to eat and all that.
Hmm.
And it was super. I mean, we just had a great, great experience for me.
Well, that was a beautiful film. Another one that I remember you in fondly, The Music Man with Robert Preston.
Yes.
What stands out in your mind about working on The Music Man?
Well, that I adored, too. You know that Frank Sinatra was supposed to play the part.
No, I did not know
Yes,
that.
Warner Brothers did the film. And Frank Sinatra was actually scheduled to play the role of Harold Hill. And our writer, producer came in and said, unless you use Mr. Preston, you don't do my movie.
Mm.
Meredith Wilson, of course.
Yes, right.
And so that's how, Frank Sinatra was out and Robert Preston came in to do it.
What's your favorite song from that particular musical?
Oh, there's so many beautiful ones. I guess Till There Was You, the ballad, has to be probably number one for me because I'm still singing it all over the place.
Well, I would have to agree with you. That was on my list. That was the only, and here's to give you just a sense of how old I am. When you were doing that and doing The Music Man, Till There Was You came out, the Beatles actually covered it.
I know.
After you had sung it. I think that was the first time that I could remember where a rock and roll band actually covered a Broadway musical hit.
I know. It was amazing to
me, it was
too.
The song that you did, too. What quite a compliment there.
Yes.
So,
great.
What was it like working with Robert Preston on The Music Man?
He was divine. Sometimes when an actor has been doing a role for a long time, and I think it had been 3 years or something on Broadway, it's a big hit on Broadway, mm-hmm. and he'd been doing the role. Sometimes if they come to do a movie, they're so into the role that they say, well, no, we have to do it this way, or I did it this way, or I want to do it. He did none of that. It was as though he were doing it for the first time.
Oh, that is great.
And it was so great to work with him.
You also worked with another perennial all-star when it comes to Hollywood acting, and that was Ron Howard. You worked with him here on The Music Man and then on The Courtship.
Two films.
Yeah, Courtship of Eddie's Father, too.
Yeah, exactly.
What was it like working with Ron Howard?
He was the best child actor I ever worked with.
Is that right?
Besides Danny Bonaducci, of course. but he was really, really incredible. And such a well-brought-up boy, he had a real normal family life, which is unusual, as you well know, mm-hmm. for child actors, and just a brilliant young actor. Of course, he's a brilliant young producer, writer, everything else now.
Yeah, he's done it all. He's amazing. We're talking to Shirley Jones, everybody, and Shirley, we can't escape without talking about the Partridge Family.
Right.
You were in the role of Shirley Partridge. That came about in kind of an unusual way. Tell us about that.
Well, they called me, my agent, so forth, called me and said, we have a television series that they want to talk to you about doing. And it was based on the Cow Sills, which was a group of a young group that went around the country singing songs and so forth. And it was a family. They were a family. And it was based on them. And actually, as it turned out, the Cow Sills were the first that they were going to use these young singers in the series. But as we all know, it doesn't mean that you're an actor if you're a singer. So, and they weren't very good actors. So they decided then they were going to have to, recast it.
I see.
And they came to me. And at that time, doing television, was kind of a step down for actors that had been in movies. Now, of course, it's a whole different business. But they said, Shirley, don't do a television series, because if you do, you'll be that character for the rest of your life and your movie career will be in the toilet. And they were right, actually. But for me, it was a joy because it gave me an opportunity to stay home and raise my kids. I had three small, children, school age now, and mm-hmm. and I'd been all over the world on movie locations, and it was a wonderful experience. I loved it. And I loved the role of Shirley Partridge, Right. And working with my stepson David was great. He became the rock star of the world at that time.
He sure did. I mean, he was more popular than the Beatles at one point.
He was at his prime. He was the number one rock person in the world.
Absolutely. Now, Shirley, I mean, you landed the role of Shirley Partridge, the lead in the Partridge Family, but there was another role that you were actually auditioning for in television as well that you ended up not getting. That turned out to be another 1970s sitcom. Icon, if you will.
The Brady Bunch?
The Brady Bunch. Yeah, tell us about that.
That's not the way it happened.
Oh, it's not?
I turned it down.
No kidding.
Yeah. They offered me that first, before the Partridge Family.
I see.
And I read the script, and I didn't want to be your normal little mom raising all these children. The thing I loved about the Partridge Family, I was the first working mother on television.
That's right.
And it had music, Mm-hmm. It had... It was a very different theme, and that's what interested me. I was not interested in the Brady Bunch.
Well, that's what I said at the outset. You were the edgy, hip mom that we all wish we had.
Yeah, it was a different mother role,
Yeah, exactly. Well, what stands out in your mind about the Partridge Family? What do you think history is going to look back and remember the Partridge Family for?
Well, I think, we had 5 gold records. That's number one. I mean, we have to say the music for its time was very successful. And again, it showed a family that could be normal and still be a part of show business, which I thought was great. We we worked as a family. Everybody worked together. And yet, you know, we had a basically normal home life. They all went to school and did everything. And I, that's what I loved about the show. You know, it was such a different theme for everybody. And I adored that part.
And why do you think it resonated with audiences? I mean, I remember it to this day. Why do you think it resonated with us, the audience?
Well, I think for all the reasons I just said. I think that they loved the music, and all the young people of its time, you know, wanted to be, you know, I had kids getting on buses from Iowa and coming and sitting on my lawn and saying, we want to join the Partridge Family.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, it really was. I mean, they, all these young teenagers at that time wanted to have a band, and some of them even tried to do that in their own families.
Amazing. We're talking to Shirley Jones, everybody, actress, a Broadway performer, everything. Now, since you have left the Partridge Family and all of that behind you, I have to ask you, Shirley, what are you doing these days?
Oh, I'm doing everything. Absolutely everything. I'm doing concerts all over the country still. I just did one right here in Marina Del Rey, the big Chase Park down there last Saturday night.
Oh.
I'm doing concerts everywhere. And I just did a pilot for the Comedy Central channel. You know, I've just been offered a movie, so I'm still working up a storm.
Now, I'd heard or read somewhere that you've got an anthology that's coming out. Is there any truth to that?
An anthology?
Yeah, that it was going to be the best of Shirley Partridge. I read that on the Internet. You know how reliable the Internet is.
Yeah, no, not to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge. Well, you would be among the first to know, so I guess that's probably
no,
not true.
I haven't heard anything about that.
That's not true at all. But I tell you, one of the other things that has always impressed me is that you are truly a patriotic American as well, and one of the things that you've embarked on just recently I think is noteworthy, and I'd like to spend a minute or two talking about it, is you're putting together a memorial for the 9/11 victims that we had almost a decade ago. Tell us a little bit about
that. We have a beautiful park, Bill, and, you know, I've had a house up in Big Bear Lake, which is the mountains here in Southern California, the San Bernardino Mountains, mm-hmm. for about 30 years. I adore them. I was a big skier, and I love going to, you know, the snow because I was raised in the East. And so I've had a house there in this little town called Fawnskin, which is the North Shore of the lake. And about, oh, I guess 4 years ago now, I'm not sure the time element right now, but there was a whole strip of land in the center of town that was for sale. And it was right literally 2 days after 9/11. So it was a little longer than that now, 9 years, I guess it was. And my husband looked at me and he said, you know what? Let's find out what that land cost. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a park, a tribute to 9/11 here in this little town? Because at that time, and still to my knowledge, there is no other park or a tribute to 9/11 anywhere else, except, of course, where it was, where it happened.
Sure.
But, I mean, we bought the land. We have been getting contributions now forever to try to really, it's almost finished. We have a beautiful park now with a girder from one of the buildings that the mayor of New York sent to us. We have a beautiful waterfall coming through the girder. We have beautiful tables and chairs where people can go and lunch. We have a stage that we can do summer concerts. And we have statues of all famous sort of Americans, you know, the Indian and the fireman and, you know, the serviceman. And it's just beautifully done. We're still not finished because, you know, it takes money. It takes contributions.
And absolutely it does. And you've been working tirelessly on this.
Yes, we have.
We're grateful to you. I mean, this is a worthwhile project. Now, of course, you know, we're broadcasting right into Reagan country. This is Ventura County, home of the Ronald Reagan Memorial Library.
Right, right.
If people listening to the sound of your voice are interested or want to learn more about it, where would you direct them, Shirley?
Well, my website, shirleyjones.com.
That's shirleyjones.com. No tricks there. It's no underscore or dots or anything. Just shirleyjones.com. And there's detailed information up there about the
park.
Fawnskin Park that you're putting together. I think that is very, very commendable. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for thinking of those victims on that tragic day nearly a decade ago.
Oh, yes, my dear.
It's great. Well, Shirley, I just don't know where the time goes. It flies by.
I know.
it is wonderful talking to you.
I've
thoroughly enjoyed it. Thanks so much for being a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
Thank you. Nice to talk with you.
We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay.